He walked on at the University of Alabama, earned a scholarship, walked out of here with multiple national titles. Will Lowry, welcome into the game in Tuscaloosa. I hope you're doing well.
Doing great. It's been a while, Ryan. Glad to be back chatting with you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's talk a little college football, my friend. And now I'm just going to go ahead and memory serves me well, and I hope I'm correct. 2012 was your final year here?
11.
I've been calling you a three-time national champ. That's okay. That's okay. So
almost. Two's not bad, though.
No. What do you do with all the jewelry? Do you wear it?
Not often. It stays locked up for the most part. It comes out on special occasion.
When you have Auburn friends coming over?
Yeah, when I got Auburn friends coming over, or if my fingers are feeling weak and they need a little lift, a little workout, I'll bring them out and flash them around a little bit. But they're a lot. My wife doesn't like me to wear them too often because she thinks they kind of shame her ring. So
okay. Well, hey, there's a lot of diamonds on those national championship rings. So certainly, let's talk some college football. Let's go back to the what it is. You grew up in the state. You understand the expectation, especially where Nick Saban has taken the program. It's 12-2. It's an SEC championship. It's a Final Four appearance. You lost Ohio State, and we're talking about all offseason. How can this team get better? You know the expectations of playing here. I'm not sure if that's fair or not, but it was a great season.
Yeah, that's the reality we're at nowadays. I mean, when you've had the success that we've had over the last handful of years, that comes with the territory. But at the same time, to be fair, as any competitor that respects themselves, I mean, no matter what you do the year before, you're always looking for ways to improve. It's not too odd. Certainly, you want to be talking about ways to get better and ways to improve. But as far as Alabama standards go in this day and age, definitely a lot more so improvement to do over the next couple of months. There's a lot of areas we need to get a lot better.
Let me ask you, and being a defensive back, understanding what Nick Saban expects of those, it has to burn him up that was not a strength of this football team. In years past, when you were playing here, that was a strength. You always had that lockdown guy that you could put a player with him on an island and say, I'm going to lock him down. We haven't had that for a couple of years. What needs to change in the secondary?
A few things, but, first I'll touch on the fact that, people find it interesting that Coach Saban spends all his time with DBs and with the corners in particular. He's in every single meeting with them, every single individual drill at practice, everything. He's right there with the DBs and the corners. And, it's because it's the most important position on the field, and that was perfectly evidenced for us this year in the Ole Miss game. We're in complete control of the ball game. Our DBs, and they got better as the year came on. Our corners really progressed. And Tony Brown, I think, is a great talent. And he played a good game. And he had one play where he kind of had a mental lapse. He got his hips turned the wrong way when he was isolated on the outside, got beat on a post route. And just like that, they're back in the game. And a few plays later, they take the lead, and that's it. So that kind of illustrates why Coach Saban places so much importance on that position and why it's so tough to play. And another thing I think that this year kind of also brought to light is the fact that we've had some really phenomenal corners come through here the last couple years that may not, have been as celebrated as they might or should have been. You had the Javi Arenases, you had the Draker Patricks, but guys like Daquan Menzie, guys like Marquise Johnson, guys like Kareem Jackson, who's having, a nice pro career now. Those guys were unbelievable players, and they never really got their due. They were kind of taken for granted in a way, and now that there seems to be a lack of elite talent on the outside, you see just how important it is to the scheme and to a defense to have that out there. So it's certainly extremely important that we get better at that position, number one, and we're loaded with talent back there. There's the sky's the limit for those guys. It's just a matter of them getting in the playbook, dedicating themselves to getting better, and kind of getting that edge that it takes to play the position, that mentality, that attitude kind of, that they're not going to be beat, and they're going to get the playbook down, they're going to get their technique right, they're going to trust it, and all the pieces are there. So You know, Coach Saban is the best secondary coach in the world, and he's got some of the best talent in the world. You know, last year may have just been an off year. You know, it may take a little more time than people think, but I just think there's too much talent back there, and the coaching is too good for them not to improve and be a solid unit next year.
Let me go back to your playing days here. One of the things that I've often heard a lot of former DBs talk about is that short memory. You've got to have a short memory. If you get beat, put it behind you. With younger players, and I go back to Will Lowry's days here in Tuscaloosa, was that a hard thing for you to do once you get beat to be able to, I know it's easier said than done, put it behind you, put it behind you. That has to stick a little bit. I'm just looking for scenarios of why this team, as far as the short memory, was that a hard thing for you to do first as a player up and coming?
Yeah, well, you know, fortunately, I can say that I somehow avoided getting beat for a very long touchdown over the top in my career at Alabama. That's not to say it never happened to me in football, but not at the college level. But absolutely, it's tough. You know, I mean, football players, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Kevin Durant here in the media lately, kind of talking about how athletes are humans too, and he's absolutely right. You know, I mean, DBs are just like everyone else. They have feelings. They're conscious of the fact that, you know, if they get beat for an 80-yard touchdown, it's glaringly obvious whose fault it is. So, yeah, absolutely, it's tough. And especially on young guys. You know, I mean, I remember when Dre Kirkpatrick, I guess it was his sophomore year, when he first started playing in the secondary a good bit and became a vital cog of the defense. And we were at Arkansas, and he got beat over the top for, like, you know, 70-something yards on the first play from scrimmage. And they scored like one or two plays later. Somebody chased him down. But I remember Dre was kind of shell-shocked a little bit on the sidelines, you know, and you could see it in his eyes. And it was kind of, you know, his first taste of adversity, I guess, his first SEC road game. And, you know, it's tough. It is really tough to do when you get beat and there's 100,000 people screaming and making noise. And it's really tough mentally. But, you know, that's just something that comes with experience and kind of having that attitude like I talked about. You know, I mean, he was able to pull it back together and ended up getting the pick to seal that game for us when we came back. So it's about attitude and it's about confidence and it's about experience. You know, it comes, and like I say, that's something that I think will come to these guys as they get more comfortable playing in Bryant Denny and getting comfortable playing their position and doing their job and, you know, get more familiar with everything. So absolutely it's tough, but, you know, it's just part of the territory.
Will Lowry, right now inside the game, let's talk about the game of college football, of how it's changed. I mean, we went from Tony Boselli, an offensive lineman. Now, you're never going to get an offensive lineman or an offensive player, a wide receiver, a running back, that says the rules favor that side of the football. But I believe wholeheartedly that it does. The rules favor right now the offensive side of the football. And he leaned on it a couple of times. He talked a little bit about it. But, you know, those guys right now, I mean, they're smiling ear to ear, and the defense is going, hey, give us a little bit of a break. I mean, we're not able to hit a receiver coming across the middle. I'm scared to death that I'm going to get thrown out of a game. I'm going to get a penalty. I'm not going to be able to play the next game. There's a lot of pressure right now on the defense side of the football. But there's a rule that's been proposed. It could pass later this spring and will be implemented as quick as 2015. A three-yard rule, ineligible receiver down the field, an offensive lineman's not able to be. Right now, the rule's at 3 yards. They're considering backing that up to 1 yard. Defensive back, you're taught to read the offensive lineman. That's not the case anymore right now because of some of the wiggle room that they've been given by the guys in stripes. Your thoughts about this possible new rule?
Yeah, I mean, like you were saying a minute ago, it's absolutely geared to, and of course you're speaking to a biased former defensive player here, but it is, the rules are absolutely biased to the offense. It's, you know, I love the NFL, but man, it's tough to watch these days because if there's a violent collision on the field, there's going to be a flag thrown. It's just inevitable, and that's tough to watch, you know. But unfortunately, you know, the powers that be understand that for the most part, the big numbers, TV ratings, and revenue dollars are generated from exciting events, and you know, for the casual fan, that means scoring points and seeing the ball flying through the air and moving the ball and a lot happening, you know. To me, a beautiful game of football is when we played LSU to a 6-6 tie in regulation. You know, that's beautiful football.
Oh, it is to me, too. Yeah, it is.
But, yeah, I mean, it's tough. And, you know, all the rule changes, I lean more towards just less changes. You know, it gets to a point where you just got to ask yourself, what are we trying to do here? You know, it's there's the sport of soccer where, you know, I don't know how many rules have been changed over hundreds of years since it's been around, and the styles of play come and go, they change, and it's the same in football. You know, you're starting to see this hurry up, no huddle attack, and you're starting to see a lot of the pop pass, option pass stuff. It's just all kind of different stuff, and as the people in the position to make decisions and call these shots, you've got to ask yourself, are we really trying to dictate how teams play the game, or do we just want to let them do whatever is within the rules of the game? So I'm kind of more in favor of leaving things the way they are, but, you know, at the same time, it's just how it is, I guess. They're gonna change some rules, and, you know, I can see both sides of different arguments. It's certainly tough as a safety. You're trying to read the tackles, the uncovered linemen, to see their action and see what they're doing. And, you know, on the flip side of that, you know, this pop pass stuff, I mean, that's really tough to guard. I never really faced any teams that did that too awful much. We practiced against it a few times for trick plays. But, the offense that Auburn is running these days is just very different, you know, and it pushes the rules of the game to the absolute limits. And, you've got, like Coach Saban, you know, he's frustrated about the lack of substitutions and whatnot, but it'll be interesting to see. You know, at the end of the day, I think it comes down to blocking, tackling, and executing. So we'll see what happens over the next couple of years with all the rule changes.
I want to go back to the communication. When you were here, because of the hurry-up style was not as prevalent as it is right now. It was coming, but it really wasn't a huge part of it. You won two national titles here, a very dominant defensive side of the football. How much communication existed between the sidelines, coaches, Kirby Smart, Nick Saban, and the players on the field? How much was there? Am I missing something? Was that still part of the game then? Did you still receive a lot of calls from the sidelines?
Absolutely. You get every call from the sideline. I mean, we still, you know, when I was in the game, we were in dime and most of the time. And, at that point, it is kind of hurry up regardless. I mean, it's defense. We don't really huddle except in camp and stuff like that. I mean, in games, we don't huddle all the way together. So you're looking at the sidelines. As a defensive player, you're supposed to know from looking at the sideline and seeing the signal what the call is and what your job is. Now, also at the same time, you know, you got your Mike linebacker calling it out to everybody, making sure they got it, and, of course, communication with each other is important. But certainly, you know, communication on the sideline is very vital. And especially, you know, when there's a flag or there is a dead ball, you know, whatever, if there's a stop and play, whoever is, you know, if there's a correction to be made or, you know, somebody's completely wrong or off base, you know, Coach Smart and Saban, those guys will call you over to the sideline and tell you. And it's good to get those adjustments, and I do think they're important. But at the same time, I will say that I think the most important adjustments from a coaching standpoint come in between series over on the sideline. I don't know if there's any better in the business than Coach Smart and Coach Saban at in-game adjustments. I mean, those guys, you know, we practice so many different scenarios and so many different attacks. We only end up seeing probably about 10 or 20% of the plays that we practice and the formations and variations that we practice against. So, you know, you don't get a lot of reps of what you see, but once we get in the game and the offense shows their hand and what they've practiced for the week and what they're going to be running for the game, we've repped it in practice, and the coaches go over it in great detail on the sidelines. And those changes are extremely important. But I think the more important thing that the hurry-up affects in the actual on-field time for the defense is substitutions. You know, Coach Saban, the defense is great because he's an excellent coach. The defensive coaches are great, and the players do a great job preparing to where every play, if our coaches know what offensive personnel is on the field, they know exactly what kind of plays they like to run out of it, and they know, you know, what the tendencies are, and they know what package we need to be in, and all those types of things. So when you take away the ability to substitute and get the right personnel in the game, that limits your calls that you can make, and That, of course, limits what you can do and what kind of strengths you can play to and what you can defend against. So I think that's the biggest frustration for Coach Saban and the coaches and the players that have a frustration with the hurry-up is just the lack of the ability, you know, the lack of control on the game.
You know, one of the things that's also in this rules proposal package, whether we're talking about the offensive line, the communication. They're actually considering opening up the communication. For the NFL, it's been 15, 20 years where an offensive coordinator or one guy can communicate with the quarterback. They're actually looking at that for the college game of including one offensive guy and one defensive guy. And if you look at the hurry-up style, I think that's huge because, you know, you could receive some adjustments and it's a quicker transition. If you're shaving off 2 seconds of communication where every player is not having to look to the sidelines and one guy's getting that call, that could also help make adjustments from the sidelines. I think it would be cut off, if I've read it correctly, I think it's 15 seconds. So it'd give you about 20 seconds to communicate with a Mike linebacker and to be able to get those calls in, which a little bit overlooked because of the 3-yard back to a 1-yard rule, but that's still it. That'd be huge for college football.
Absolutely, it'd be huge. I mean, there is no question that would have a huge impact on the game. Now, when we're talking about getting these signals from the sideline, you're talking about trying to get a call from Coach Smart, who's signaling it in with signals, you know, that a lot of them are stay the same, but a lot of them change. You know, a lot of them are new and whatnot, and it takes him a minute to signal it to where people can, you know, to where the team can tell what he's signaling and what he's trying to get across. Now, if he's able to just speak directly to the Mike linebacker and rattle off a call in half a second and Mike can turn around and tell the defense, I mean, that completely changes things. I mean, you know, in essence, you could almost rattle the call off while you're waving a corner over and telling him something completely different. I mean, it certainly changes the game. And same on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, the more communication you can have with your offensive coordinator, you know, it's not so much just getting the play calls in, but the ability to communicate that quickly and that clearly and that directly just increases tenfold the amount of communication that you can have and in-game communication and adjustments and, you know, feedback from the player to the coach and what he's seeing. And absolutely, it'll have a huge impact. I'm really anxious to see how that works out. That's one rule I would be for. I think that in this day and age of technology, it can't hurt. You know, it's so easy. And like you say, it's been utilized at the next level for many years now. I think that is something that they can move forward with.
Going to be voting on that less than a month away. They're going to be voting if those rules are proposed. It was proposed last week, and it will come up, I believe, maybe a month and a half. It's in April, and it would be considered for 2015 if you could implement the technology that fast. It's one of those things that are considered. Will Lowry right now, walk on to a national champion, a multiple national championship here at the University of Alabama. We're talking with him. He lives out in Mobile, and before I work my way to basketball, I know you talked about a couple of minutes ago, you're now a married man, but let me get an update. What are you doing these days? Because we have a lot of listeners, as I'm watching the stream right now, listening to us in Lower Alabama. What are you up to these days? Give us an update.
Yeah, I'm working with a private equity group over across the bay. We're actually living in Daphne now, but working with a group. We're kind of focused in real estate, and we've got a home building company, and you know, mainly the real estate industry, but do invest in some other things, but it's just a lot of fun. You know, I've got a great boss that's overseeing me, and I'm kind of shadowing and trying to learn as much as I can from. And we've just got a really good group of people at Bellator Real Estate is our brokerage, and Truland Homes is our home building company. And it really is just a great group of people. Love going to work every day and just trying to learn everything I can from those guys. I'm still just so new to the business environment. You know, fortunately, a lot of the intangibles and things that make you successful on the football field and in life translate very, very directly to the business world. But just trying to learn as much as I can, having fun doing it, and enjoying my new married life. My wife is over here cooking up some delicious dinner as we speak, so can't wait to get some of that.
Well, now as a defensive back, I will tell you one of these things, that you will gain weight. But because of the married life, you will gain weight. So, you know, I don't want you to lose that model status of 185 pounds, 195. You could be 215 before maybe 2016, 2017.
There's no question. I can tell you if you've ever had the fortunate opportunity to have a few of the cookies that my wife can cook up, you would not doubt that for a second. But it's funny, you know, once I was done playing, I lost about 20 pounds of muscle from, you know, just not working out near as much, and got really skinny, and now I'm kind of putting the weight back on. It may not be as good a weight as it used to be, but kind of fitting in my clothes better again, and you know, trying to keep it on an even keel, but hopefully my metabolism will stay high for a few more years.
All right, I'm going to slip one basketball question in. I mean, you played intramural basketball here at the university, and I'm being a little funny here, but you also played at Hoover, a guy that, you know, you could play the outside, you could play the top of the key, you could play down low, and I go back to the interviews. You would come over after intramural basketball, and that's the only reason I'm working this into the conversation. I'm just sort of laying out your expertise in basketball. Let me get your go ahead.
I've got some basketball experience now. Basketball was my favorite sport growing up until probably sophomore year of high school when we went undefeated in football and won the state championship, and our basketball program didn't make the playoffs and our entire staff got fired. And I kind of decided that it might be time better spent focusing on football where I thought I, you know, had a little bit better of a chance. But I love basketball. I think it's a great sport. I love the competitiveness of it. And, you know, that's one thing I love about our team. They get after it on the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, I think Coach Grant, he's got a great he does a great job of representing the program in a top-class way. You know, I thought it took a lot for him to kick our best player off the team when he wasn't doing the right things. You know, that's a tough thing for a coach to do. And I respected that, and I respect a lot of things that he does. But, you know, at the same time, I just, you know, it's tough to watch because at a school of the caliber that Alabama is and as much exposure as we're getting these days, and I just think we should be doing so much more than we're doing. And I really didn't think that Coach Grant would be back this year after last year. And I certainly agree with what you were saying earlier, you know, that if he would have lost last night, I mean, I would kind of be on the argument that his record against Auburn is part of the reason that he's still around. But I just think we've got way too much talent, and we've recruited too well the last couple of years, and have too many good players, you know, to not be succeeding more. And I think Levi Randolph's a great player. He's done as well as he could this year. I like Obasahan a lot. He's an unbelievable athlete. I've seen him up at the gym a few times. That guy is pretty stacked. He could certainly play some football, I think, if he'd grown up doing it. And, you know, I think the main problems, one, we just lack any kind of identity on offense. You know, me and my buddies joke, it looks like our middle school offense out there sometimes, the way they're just kind of looking at each other, waiting for somebody else to do something, waiting for somebody to score. They just have no purpose. You know, they have no sense of urgency on offense. Everybody's just kind of unsure of where to go with the ball and who's going to score. And it just shouldn't be that way at this level. You know, it shouldn't be that way. You watch other teams play. I'm sitting here watching the Syracuse game, and these guys are moving around with purpose on offense. They know they're going with it. They have confidence in their ability. And, you know, I think another thing that hurts us is we lack a dominant inside presence. Yeah, I see us get out rebounded a lot. I just don't see the explosion there, and a real threat on the inside. You know, and that's what opens up the outside part of the floor. So you know, there's just a number of areas that we're just not as good as I think we should be. And I certainly think we should hold the standard just as high in basketball as we do anywhere else. You know, I mean, we should be winning a lot more. I mean, certainly making the tournament. So. I definitely hope to see some improvement with our program here in the coming future.